You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
30 days, ladies and gentlemen, that's all you need to know. In 30 days, this country is going to make a monumental decision. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Saturday evening, October the 8th. On Tuesday, November the 8th, what will happen? I don't know. I still say Trump is the next president of the United States of America. We will find out in very short order. This year has gone by so fast. We have been so busy. We have not slept since February. Literally, I have not gone to bed since February, at least not to my knowledge.
And you won't be going to bed anytime soon in the next 30 days. This is the countdown where it's really serious. It's like at Cape Canaveral. All systems are on. All systems are go. This is not a time for the faint-hearted. This is when we really need to make sure that we step up our game and don't let things slide. The Trump campaign has it here in the grasp of their hand if they will close their fist on it, if they will not allow themselves to be distracted by the moderators and the mainstream media chatter machine. His message gets out, he wins. It's that simple. His message doesn't get out, he loses.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit this first hour. Of course, you just heard my co-host and colleague, comrade Keith Alexander the Great, and Keith has been traveling a little bit over the course of the last few weeks, so he hasn't been on the program as much as he normally is, but he's in with us tonight for his regular shift, and things will be settling back down to a state of normalcy here as we continue on in a most abnormal year. Talking about this Trump campaign, this presidential race, Donald Trump, everything he stands for, these issues that has brought his candidacy and awakened a sleeping populist and nationalist giant here in America. We have been in the news with Trump for reasons either real or imagined by the by the corrupt media. We have been in the news every week since the early spring. And
the Liberty News Radio Network has been even more in the focus since it's in Utah. And Utah is a key state that the Trump campaign will need in order to win this election.
Well, speaking of Liberty News Radio, the work that Sam Bushman has done, folks, if you're not listening to the Liberty Roundtable show Monday through Friday, right, here on this network, you can even go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and get the live stream, which carries Liberty News Radio programming 24/7. Anyway, Trump, did you know that Eric Trump was a guest on Sam Bushman's show on Thursday? Did you know that? Did you know that Roger Stone was a guest on Monday? Did you know that the former director of the CIA was a guest also this week on the Liberty Roundtable show? Folks, Sam Bushman is lining them up and knocking them down, and not just to have big names on. These interviews have so much substance. It's real discussions about the issues that are animating the people across this country. And I'm telling you, what this network has done, this show, this network, Sam's show, all of it combined, of course, the two programs are different, the hosts are different, but we're working together for a common goal, and that is to make America great again, to borrow the tagline from a man I think we'll all soon be voting for president, Keith.
Well, let me just say this. There is a commonplace observation. I just attended a seminar about the Electoral College. People don't vote in America. States do. States through electors. And if Utah lines up in the Trump column, I dare say that no one has had more to do with that result than Sam Bushman and his radio show.
The governor of Utah just endorsed Trump. Of course, Utah was a little uncommitted earlier in the primary season, but everything is starting to come into focus. And just a quick recap of last week's show, of course.
Let me say this real quickly, too. Sam's program is real skinny. You know, you hear nibbling around the edges on Trump's campaign and his platform and whatnot on other shows, but nobody gives you the 200-proof, Trump positions on the issues like Sam does.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And that's what I'm saying. We're so fortunate to have our position on this network, and obviously through this radio program, we have really changed things. Of course, we've been listed as one of the top 20 right-wing media fixtures responsible for Trump's nomination earlier in the year by certainly media outlets that aren't favorable to us. We've been part of the conversation in this race. Hillary Clinton's named us by name. Trump campaign spokespeople are answering questions about us. There's no doubt that this network, this program, and the host of these shows have absolutely played a role as much as anyone from the outside can. We've been in the conversation. And so this is what we talked about last week. Last week, Eddie was in, Keith was out. But we talked mostly last week about the presidential debate between Trump and Clinton. So we're not going to resuscitate that conversation tonight, although since Keith wasn't here last week, we are going to let him tell us what Trump should do for tomorrow's debate. Of course, on Sunday night, they'll go at it round two, and then we're going to break down the Pence-Kaine vice presidential debate, which happened earlier this week. Lots to say about that this hour. But one thing we did in the third hour last week, if you're part of the Political Cesspool family of listeners, you need to listen to the third hour of last week's show. We took a break from this hectic year. We just took a break, and we gave an ode to the audience. We read a lot of correspondence. We couldn't read it all, but there was one that came in just after last week's show that I received, and it's written in such perfect cursive on a very nice piece of stationery. Here's what it reads. Dear James, I hope you'll forgive me. I've been missing in action with support for a while, like maybe 3 years. I promise I'll do better. I look forward to hearing you and the entire Cesspool family every week, and you guys are the best. And yes, I consider all of you my family as well. And my brothers. I sincerely hope I can come to your fair city to meet you all in person, maybe shake your hands, and take you to dinner and fellowship on me. That would be a highlight of my life. Godspeed and take care. I can't express or tell you all just how much you mean to me. Your devoted and loyal listener, Rob. And that comes from Rob in Virginia. Of course, Rob has been a supporter of this program over the years, but this is a man, Keith, we've never met, but you feel that brotherhood, and that's what I say every week. What we've got here is very real, and we love you, ladies and gentlemen. We are here to fight for you, and we're so glad that that love and respect and support is reciprocated by people like Rob across the country, coast to coast, and around the world. We are here, we stay lit, and on the front lines for you, and that is our sole purpose in being here on the radio.
Well, what Rob shows is that we're not a cult of personality or people here. We're a cult of ideas. We are the people that are the true acolytes, keepers of the flame for true conservatism. We say it in the intro to our show every week. We are the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. Populism and nationalism have always been part of our blend of conservatism. We think it's the only authentic blend of conservatism. And now we finally have a presidential candidate that's caught up with us and our ideas and with those of the Liberty News Network. So consequently, we are in the ascendancy. We need to make sure that we seize this moment, that Trump gets elected, and that then we become part of the new media that is inevitably going to crop up if Trump does win the election.
We're positioned. We just need our guy to win, or else it could be to the guillotine for us. We'll find out. But, folks, stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to let Keith write the prescription. Dr. Alexander's going to write the prescription for what Trump needs to do tomorrow in the second debate, and then we'll also look back on the Pence-Kaine vice presidential debate. Stay tuned. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, let's go back first, and then we'll look forward to tomorrow. The vice presidential debate, I watched it all, live tweeted it, and I thought, to whatever extent a vice presidential debate can have an impact on a presidential race, it was probably achieved as a result of Mike Pence's performance. A very good night, I thought, for Trump Pence. Pence came off as honest, authentic. He nailed Kane on the issues and topics we wanted him to cover. A complete rout. Now, listen, he wasn't perfect. He doesn't have the charisma of Donald Trump, but at the same time, Trump could learn a little bit from his debating style. He was a little neocon-y on Russia, but overall, I'd give it 90 out of 100 minimum, maybe 95, Keith.
I would say more like 80, but I would say this.
I don't know. It was quite good to meet. A lot better. Maybe expectations weren't as high, but I was very impressed.
Well, I was impressed too. And the best thing that he did was his comments that were obviously heartfelt and were not just perfunctory on the abortion issue.
One of the last issues brought up, but certainly one of the highlights.
I think there have been people who want to vote for Trump, who are instinctively conservative, instinctively nationalistic and populist, that have been hungering and waiting for those type of comments. And I, in particular, think that this may be the one issue that, or the one event that basically brings Utah into the fold of the Trump camp.
Well, that's one thing that Trump hasn't been very vocal about himself or some of the social issues that matter to me. I am a social conservative when it comes to the issues of life and God-ordained marriage, and certainly Pence checks those boxes for the ticket. Very masterful performance, I thought, in many ways. I did like the position on the right to life. Of course, Pence is known for a very strong stand on that. The problem, though, with people like Pence who are traditional conservatives is that I do believe he is sincerely a Christian. You can tell that in his demeanor. I mean, no one knows except for an individual and God. But if you judged the person by the fruit that they bear, it would appear as though Pence is very sincere in his faith and in his positions on these issues. The problem is, of course, with all of these traditional conservatives like Pence, they have never once, not ever, in the last 50 years, won a battle of any significance with regard to the culture war. So that's why you have to have something like the alt-right come in and fill that void. We agree with Pence on the issue, at least I do, on these issues, but we've never got any results from people like Pence and his cohorts in the Republican Party until someone, a strong man like Trump, comes in, and then maybe he can move the needle on some of these things.
Right. The Pences, the Ryans, people like this, Paul Ryan, and I would put Mike Pence well above
Absolutely.
Paul Ryan.
Yeah, and it's not a dig at Pence to say that they haven't won but these issues, because I do think he's sincere. But the fact remains that, as sincere as he may be, he or no one like him have never led our people to victory on these issues.
They're subject to the charge leveled at them by the late, great Sam Francis that they are beautiful losers. And Glenn Beck is a perfect example of this. He is committed, at least to his version of certain conservative and constitutional principles, but apparently he is so committed to them that he is willing to lose the war in order to win the battle and say that he was a pure and holy constitutionalist or conservative rather than an effective and a winning one. The thing about Trump is Trump is interested in winning. We need a leader like that because we're at the 11th hour, folks. If we don't win this election,
the 59th
it's
minute.
Gone.
That's yeah. right. Very, very well could be. And this thing about abortion, it's murder. Okay, let's just call it what it is. Now, I know Pence and Trump aren't going to say that because that's just not proper campaign rhetoric, but it is murder. I posted a picture of my son. My son is going to be 2 years old in a couple of days, but I posted a picture of him, of his ultrasound. Now, this picture and this ultrasound was taken at a time when it's still legal to have an abortion. Obviously, he would have survived outside of the womb. Fully defined face, hands, feet, toes, everything, fully defined. And Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine don't believe that he's a human being at this point. It would have been okay if my wife had taken him in and murdered him for the sake of convenience. Of course, we would have never done that, but this is what people do all the time. And to watch Tim Kaine say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a Catholic, Hillary Clinton's a Methodist, we take our faith seriously, but yes, we should have abortion on demand. It's okay to, yeah, he didn't say this, but it's okay to murder babies. But yeah, we're Christians too.
Well, how can you be for the shedding of innocent blood and be a Christian?
And not to mention their support for sodomy and all sorts of perversion that violates God's law and everything. And I don't want to go...
Well, their obvious true religion is liberalism rather than Christianity. That is the hallmark. In fact, liberalism is a great adversary of Christianity in today's world. Islam isn't, Hinduism isn't, no organized religion is. This is the secular humanist left. They are the great alternative, particularly in Europe and America. Now, the thing about abortion, too, that we observe and understand that I'm sure Mike Pence doesn't, is that it was basically anti-white like everything else in the liberal grab bag agenda. Just like, let's say, domestic violence laws, which was another arrow in their quiver. It's backfired on them. There are more non-whites that avail themselves percentage-wise of abortion than whites, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't focused on us first, just like domestic violence laws seem to catch a lot more non-whites in their snares than whites. But the motivation of the left in bringing forth into reality both of these concepts was an anti-white animus. We understand that, and, you know, that's a key to our understanding about it, but, you know, also our Christianity doesn't allow us to support the shedding of innocent blood.
Well, of course, Obama pretends to be a Christian, and again, it's cheap to say this person's not a Christian. No one knows, but it would be very hard to believe that Clinton and Obama are Bible-believing, Christ-believing Christians. And so... Overall, I thought Pence has proven himself to be a solid choice for VP. He is loyal. He was a good soldier. He touted the party line with regard to Trump's line. And I guess initially, we would have said maybe somebody like Sessions. Let's go with Sessions. But Pence was a sound choice strategically, too. He helps Trump in some of the Midwestern states. There's no doubt Trump's going to carry Alabama. So putting Sessions on the ticket would have been redundant.
And I think some of these Christian coalition people now are really getting excited about the ticket.
And Pence has proven that he can be a team player with regards to Trump's signature issues, which is, of course, immigration and building the wall and all of this other stuff.
Well, one of his virtues is loyalty and faithfulness, obviously.
No, he has. He has. Vladimir Putin came up a few times. I was wondering if surely Putin and Tim Kaine are not the same gender. It wouldn't appear to me that they are.
Let me bring up a point about Putin, okay? Pat Buchanan just recently wrote a very scathing article about our NATO allies and the Airbus versus Boeing continuing brush war that goes on. Basically, our primary allies under NATO, France, Germany, Britain, are working with Airbus, and they don't care whether Airbus makes money. They just want to destroy the American aircraft manufacturing industry. They've already taken out McDonnell Douglas and Grumman, and now the last man standing is Boeing. And these are the people that are getting a free ride, free defense, at the cost of the American taxpayer. Now, you know, what would happen if we took away the NATO protection? Probably nothing. But what would be the worst case scenario? Russia would take over. And quite frankly, who would you rather have in charge of Europe, Vladimir Putin or Angela Merkel?
Look, I dream of a Putin, Trump, Viktor Orban out of Hungary. A Putin, Trump, Orban alliance to help lead this nationalistic awakening throughout the West. That could happen. It could happen, folks.
Nationalism and populism is sweeping the white world, and it's a good thing.
That's absolutely a good thing. We need to reset and go back to the fundamentals and the basics that made our people great. And you don't make America great again without making the people that made America great to begin with.
You can't make America great by impoverishing
the
great mass of American people.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we help. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
Our country is at a crossroads. Election day is looming, and the choice between the two candidates couldn't be more clear. Do you want a strong leader who will secure our borders and stop the flow of illegal aliens and radical Islamic terrorists? Do you want a proven businessman who will implement smart trade deals that will bring jobs back to our country? Do you want a man's man who will protect our God-given Second Amendment rights from an oppressive federal government? Do you want a sensible White House that will work with traditionalist heads of state who should be our natural allies? Do you want a president who will safeguard the interests of Christians? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then there's only one choice for you, Donald Trump for president. Make no mistake about it, America will not survive a Supreme Court stacked with radical extremists handpicked by Hillary Clinton. Do the right thing. On November 8th, vote Trump.
This ad is paid for by William Johnson, a farmer and a deplorable, through the American National Super PAC, and is not authorized by Donald Trump or his committee.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. One couple more minutes on reflecting on the vice presidential debate, and then we'll get into what Trump needs to do tomorrow in the second presidential debate. Oh, that's going to be a big one. We'll be ready. A little nervous. we need a good show. Wasn't crazy about the selection of Pence originally. Thought he did an amazing job and has done a very good job as a lieutenant for Trump in this race.
On the other hand, Kane, I mean, if there's ever a naughty child that needed to be put in time out, it was Citizen Kane.
Ann Coulter wrote that he looked like Jack Nicholson's The Joker from Batman after he had eaten Mr. Rogers. But there was a couple of good lines in there. Tim Kaine, or first, with regard to immigration, Mike Pence said, a nation without borders is not a nation. Obviously, he is correct about that. So that was a good line. Then, of course, Kaine came back with his patented cuckoldry, saying, we're a nation of immigrants. Well, he's wrong about that, of course. We're not a nation of immigrants. We are a nation...
We're a blood and soil nation just like any other nation. We're not a creedal nation or a proposition nation. That's another lie that the neoconservatives and the liberals concur on. We're just like every other nation. We have a founding stock that determines the character of our nation. Our institutions, like, for example, our judicial system with trial by jury came from our Anglo-Saxon origins. Anybody that doesn't recognize that is living in la-la
land. Well, that's right. I mean, we are certainly a blood and soil nation, but with our particular blood came a set of principles and ideas, Christianity, our rule of law, our
folk
constitution,
ways and
all of
ethics
that. So,
and
yeah, you can't. No, we're not just a proposition idea nation. We were a nation of conquerors. Our people came from Europe and founded this country for the glory of God. And the first immigrants were the Germans, the Scandinavians, the Irish, the Italians, etc. They are the immigrants. And what's coming over here now is obviously completely illegal.
Yeah, but they were immigrants that wanted to assimilate and be part of the national family.
And for the most part, they did. But there's still some differences in the culture, and that's fine. That makes the diversity of Western man quite appealing. And you can have that kind of diversity because at the same time there is still a common denominator that we don't have with a lot of these people that are coming over now.
And what we have now is what Teddy Roosevelt warned us about back in the when he was running for the Bull Moose Party. He said the one most certain way of destroying America, of preventing us from remaining a nation at all, is to allow us to become a polyglot boarding house for the world. Now that metaphor is this: a boarding house is a bunch of people living under one roof that don't have any family ties or any common purpose together. They're just sharing the same space. That's what our newest immigrants are being encouraged to do by the leftist elites in charge of this nation. If we try to make them assimilate, then we're exercising cultural hegemony over them. Well, that's baloney. You know, and also the left does not believe in open borders. They are anti-white. They only believe in open borders in Europe, European-derived nations like Australia and the United States of America and Canada. They don't believe in open borders in sub-Saharan Africa, for example, where if the Chinese come in and take over things, do you think the left will be happy about that? Of course not. They are not. They pretend to be principled, but they're actually partisan, and their partisanship is anti-white animus.
All the time. All anti-white all the time. And, of course, one of the things that Tim Kaine did is very much consistent with the entire Hillary Clinton campaign, and that is do not talk about the issues. Whatever you do, try to avoid a talk about the issues. Mike Pence was much better than Donald Trump as far as the debate goes. He deflected these baseless accusations and then went on with talking about the issues. Donald Trump got caught up in birth certificate nonsense, tax nonsense. He should have just deflected it and started talking about what he wanted to say.
That's the key, and that will be the key to his success in the last two debates.
And
he needs to stay on message. He needs to get his primary message across loud and clear, and at least in my mind, his primary message is his financial
and I want to get into that
economic
in just a second
agenda,
because I want to finish this and then we'll get into that because that's important. But to finish the point was, and this is all Hillary Clinton did in that first debate, well, really with the assist of the third debater, Lester Holt, just call Trump names. And Kane tried to do that too. Oh, Trump called Rosie O'Donnell fat, disgusting slob. Well, have you ever seen Rosie O'Donnell? Let's face it, ladies and gentlemen. Some women are fat, disgusting slobs. They are.
And so are some men.
That's right. So just because they're a woman, they have to be virtuous and saintly and God? No.
No, we have to pretend in the, the left is very traditionalist in many ways. And in their eyes, it's just like the fairy tale we used to use when I was a child, that little girls are sugar and spice and everything nice, even Rosie O'Donnell, who is everything else.
Well, this is
rats and snails and puppy dog tails if there ever was one.
This is the point. So they want to keep bringing up, well, Trump called a woman fat in 1974. Okay, well, he called a woman fat. At the same time, well, maybe she was fat.
Maybe he's being played by being truthful.
Here's the point is this. He called somebody fat. That's their leading argument why he shouldn't be president, or one of them. At the same time, and this goes back to what we talked about earlier, Hillary Clinton is for the murder of unborn children. You're for the murder of unborn children, and you're preaching
righteousness. And you're a good person, and somebody that says that a fat, ugly woman is fat and ugly is a bad person?
That's it. That's the contrast. You're for homosexuality, transgenderism, all of this abominable perversity, and yet Trump is bad because he's made a few off-color remarks in his private.
Well, they're not even off-color. They're just not charitable towards, and quite frankly, look at society generally. This is what animates people. That's how they choose their mates. That's how they choose all sorts of people for advancement or for positions of authority. CNN doesn't pick their female hosts and commentators based on who looks most like Rosie O'Donnell.
That's right. Well, and that can be true for all the news media. All right, so last thing on this, we got to get to what Trump needs to do tomorrow. Brad Griffin, our friend from Occidental Descent, writes this with regard to the debate, and we'll let this be the final word on our VP debate coverage here, opinion and analysis. It wasn't even close, Brad writes. Tim Kaine lost the vice presidential debate. His speech at the Democratic convention was bizarre. His performance at the VP debate was beyond terrible. Nothing but flailing attacks. This is what you said, that they were employing an octopus.
Yeah. What lawyers talk about is the octopus defense. When the octopus gets cornered and feels threatened, he squirts out this dark black ink from a certain hole in his body and then waves all eight tentacles around wildly, muddying up the water, hoping to escape in the confusion. That's the Clinton campaign. That's the Clinton campaign, the Clinton-Kaine campaign strategy for the debates.
Because they sure can't afford to debate Donald Trump on immigration, on trade, on political correctness, on all of these issues that's really galvanized his base.
So they want to talk about
jobs.
Well, about Miss Venezuela,
yes.
And his comments on beauty contests, things like this. All this flapdoodle, all this frippery, all this inconsequential stuff. That's what they want to do. They want to tar him with the brush of political incorrectness. And quite frankly, Trump supporters give less than a damn about political correctness.
Well,
we don't give two hoots in hell about political correctness, and neither do most people in America. What they care about is their paychecks and their livelihood and the future of themselves and their children. That's where Trump's economic policy provides true relief, and Hillary's promises true disaster.
He does indulge these questions too much. I guess one of his biggest detriments in the first debate was that he answered the questions he was asked, and he allowed Lester Holt to derail that. We talked about that last week. He can't do that tomorrow, and we're going to let you knock that out of the park, Keith. But that's exactly what Pence did. He knocked it out of the park. His job was to win the debate. He did it. Pence was cool, calm, confident, knowledgeable.
But on the other hand,
refused to take Kaine's bait in the way that Trump did
right.
take Clinton.
But he did try to stay on topic with the moderator, and that's why we need to have a strategy for dealing with moderators who are in the tank for the Democrats.
And you know it's going to be the same with Anderson Cooper tomorrow night. But unlike Trump in the first debate, Pence hit Hillary over the basket of deplorables, racism, calling all police racist, basically. He brought up refugees and immigration. That was great. That's Trump's signature. He also covered all of his bases on issues like taxes, abortion, which we've mentioned, and illustrated why Trump was smart to put him on the ticket. That's another thing, and Sam's mentioned this on his show. Judge Trump, too, by the people that he has put right there in the VP slot and as his surrogates in his campaign, they have been excellent.
Well, look, and his family. His family is another mark, a measure of him as a man and as a father and as a patriarch in his family. Likewise, the people, you know, he's supposed to be anti-woman, but he has a lot more women in much more powerful and well-paid positions in his organization than Hillary Clinton ever dreamt of having in hers. In fact, she would be the misogynist. She would be the one who doesn't like women if you measure it by dollars and cents and real-world reality.
Okay, when we come back, we've been trying to get to it all hour. I promise you, when we come back, we're done analyzing the VP debate. Never enough time. Man, what a busy year. But when we come back, we're going to let Keith write the prescription for what Trump needs to do tomorrow night to build on this momentum that Mike Pence has created for him. We'll be right back.
Our country is at a crossroads. Election day is looming, and the choice between the two candidates couldn't be more clear. Do you want a strong leader who will secure our borders and stop the flow of illegal aliens and radical Islamic terrorists? Do you want a proven businessman who will implement smart trade deals that will bring jobs back to our country? Do you want a man's man who will protect our God-given Second Amendment rights from an oppressive federal government? Do you want a sensible White House that will work with traditionalist heads of state who should be our natural allies? Do you want a president who will safeguard the interests of Christians? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then there's only one choice for you, Donald Trump for president. Make no mistake about it, America will not survive a Supreme Court stacked with radical extremists handpicked by Hillary Clinton. Do the right thing. On November 8th, vote Trump.
This ad is paid for by William Johnson, a farmer and a deplorable, through the American National Super PAC, and is not authorized by Donald Trump or his committee.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks. We have been talking most this hour about the Pence versus Kane vice presidential debate. Pence got the campaign back on track after, and it really wasn't all Trump's fault. Again, we talked about it last week to the point of exhaustion, but Trump should have deflected and not answered these bogus questions, these setup questions, these gotcha questions that Holt was presenting that had nothing to do with issues of substance. And I think he'll learn, and we'll see a different Trump tomorrow night. Pence did it the right way. And if we talk about the issues, protecting borders, foreign policy, let me tell you, ISIS is praying to whatever false god they believe in. They are praying to him that Hillary Clinton wins. Trump is the law and order candidate. He's going to secure our borders. He's going to protect us from illegal aliens and radical Islamic terrorists and domestic terrorists like we've seen in Charlotte and so many other places. Trump's the Second Amendment. He's really for the First Amendment too, and we have an increasingly oppressive federal government with regards to free speech, trade, the economy, jobs. Trump is just light years better, not only than Clinton, but any Republican that has come along in many, many, many years, if not decades, on these issues. And this is what he's got to focus tomorrow. So what's he need to do tomorrow to win?
Well, first of all, let me correct something. Pence is not the blueprint for perfection on how to handle the debate. The problem with Pence was also his strength, which is that he's a gentleman. As a gentleman, he endeavored to answer the question that was asked him by the moderator. But the moderator was in the tank for Kane, Clinton, and the Democrats. So she fed him questions that fit right into their narrative about, you know, his birtherism and things like this that basically are much ado about nothing. Trump needs to tell them, listen, you want to talk about a bunch of baloney? Let's talk about the real issues and come back with that and challenge them. That's what needs to be done. And as far as I'm concerned, the primary issue is Trump's economic policy. That's the one that will convert the unconverted. That's the one that will play well to the working class in the Northeast, in the West Coast, throughout the nation, and the middle class as well. And I can't say it any better than our friend Hunter Wallace said in an article that appeared in his website, Occidental Dissent, a while back, called Trump's Economics. Let me read you from this, and we'll comment on it as we go through. Says, first, useless wars in the Mideast have sucked trillions of dollars out of our economy and run up the national debt, much of which we now owe to China, Japan, and the Gulf states. Just imagine all the things that money could have done had it been invested here instead of on a crusade to bring democracy to Iraq and Afghanistan. As Pat Buchanan so cogently observed some years ago, you can't transform the Middle East into a replica of the American Middle West. That was the so-called Bush Doctrine. Bush is just as much of a globalist as Clinton's are, and as the Democrats are. And his father was actually the first one who spoke about the New World Order, which is another alternative comment or version of one world government. This is what the elites want. It's an elite conspiracy against the common man, not only in America, but basically throughout the Europe, throughout the developed world, throughout the first world. Now, you notice, though, that it's anti-white. There are non-white nations that are first world nations, like Japan and Korea. Do you see a lot of pressure for them to have open borders? No, you hear crickets. The silence is deafening. Basically, the left is pressing open borders just on white nations. And we're also losing all of this money by fighting wars, basically serving as a police force for one world government. That's one thing. Secondly, Trump understands that the most important problem with the American economy is globalization. Corporations can relocate overseas to avoid paying taxes. Rich people can hide their money in overseas tax shelters. Corporations can lay off their American workers, relocate to countries like Mexico, hire foreign workers at a fraction of the cost, and export back into the United States duty-free and avoid paying our taxes as well as the compliance costs of our health care, environmental, and labor laws. We have also allowed a huge influx of immigrants to compete with American workers in non-tradable working-class jobs like construction. If you're not going to address that fundamental problem, you are not serious about creating working-class jobs or improving the lot of the middle class in America. The middle class in America is shrinking, and it will disappear under Hillary Clinton if she's elected. Mark my words. See, basically, Americans need one of two types of jobs to earn a middle-class income. That's either a government job or a manufacturing sector job. Manufacturing sector jobs are being shipped off. They're the ones that actually involve wealth creation and the profit motive, and compare that with government jobs where every cent paid out as a wage has to be matched by a cent collected through taxes. At least at the state and local level. I guess you can print up money if you're the federal government, but basically we don't want to become India in the 1950s where the only people that were doing well were government employees and you had this huge class of government employees. Even the Indians saw that this was a bad model and they got away from it. Now we need to get away from that. We need those manufacturing jobs and we need tariffs to equalize the cost of imported goods from the third world with goods manufactured by American companies. Now, another problem that will come out about this if Trump wins is most of these companies are going to wind up relocating or their manufacturing in right-to-work states like those in the American South, not in mandatory union membership states like those in the Rust Belt. But that's something that we can fine-tune and work out.
So you think this is the issue Trump needs to hammer on tomorrow above the others? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Let me read one more thing here, and this will kind of tie it up and put a bow on it. Third, everything else about the American economy turns on globalization. You can tinker with the tax code, but it isn't going to make much of a difference whether we have a 33% or a 38% maximum tax rate. If you can relocate your corporate headquarters to Ireland or hide your wealth in the Cayman Islands, you can expand health care to millions of uninsured people, but you might just be creating another incentive to relocate production overseas. You can raise the minimum wage and heavily regulate the economy, but the jobs will flee to Michigan, from Michigan to an Alabama, and then beyond to a Guatemala, as long as free trade exists. Like I've said, being the only nation in the world that believes in free trade is like being the only woman in town that believes in free love. You know what happened to her? Well, that's what's happening to us in international trade and in all these trade deals that Trump has rightly criticized. Finally, free college tuition and child care might improve the life of some at the margins, but without millions of new jobs being created, it will just drive up the national debt. Fourth, resource extraction industries, oil, coal, natural gas, timber, are the easiest way to stimulate working class employment. The Democrats want to ban fracking and shut down the coal industry in order to create quote-unquote green jobs in solar and wind. Not only is it ludicrous, too little energy generated, but it also creates a false choice in energy policy. Texas is the king of not only oil, but also solar and wind. Most northern states, which need the jobs, are neither windy nor sunny. But Ohio, New York, and Pennsylvania have lots of gas. We're the Saudi Arabia of gas, and that is the area where it is. California has offshore oil. Finally, every other major country addresses trade policy from the standpoint of their national interest rather than a dogmatic adherence to liberal abstractions like free trade. If it suits a Japan or a South Korea to be for free trade, they are pro-free trade. Right now, it doesn't suit China to care much about intellectual property rights. Well, that could change if, as it did in the past with Japan and South Korea. We lack the language and the concepts to even talk about a trade policy that is good for Americans. It's a morning. And I can't remember anything that Hillary said in that first debate that she was going to do about the economy except raise taxes, create a child care entitlement, and create jobs in the solar industry.
Now, her whole debate was, of course, as we've already mentioned, call him names, make him look unfit to be the president because he called a fat woman fat or something like that. But she's not going to debate any of these issues, even the ones that are most important. But this whole thing, this is what Trump has to do tomorrow. Not take the bait, stay on the issues, because he slaughters her on the issues. But
yeah, on those issues, on the financial, economic issues, we said all she has is child care and things like this.
She's still winning in Pennsylvania.
Well, that's because these things haven't been brought into focus. If he makes this debate be about economic policy, he'll not only win the debate, he'll win the election.
Well, to win the election, this whole election comes down to about 10 states, maybe a little less than that. You've got Pennsylvania, Ohio, Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, and Colorado and Nevada. Those are pretty much, that's it. The whole election comes down to those states, because every other state is either hardcore Trump or hardcore Clinton. God help us.
And basically Trump's ideas on economics will resonate with these people, but they're not spoken about. There's a conspiracy of silence with the moderators.
That's why he has to overcome Hillary Clinton and the moderators and stay on message, stay on issues, because he wins with the issues, but he will lose if he allows this thing to get derailed again like Lester Holt did.
It becomes a National Enquirer debate.
When we come back, we're going to talk about one of the most important holidays on the American calendar. And it's coming up this week, too. We'll talk about that at the top of the next hour. Stay tuned.
Radio Network.